Psalm 103. As you're doing that, I want to just start with a little bit of an illustration. I'm actually going to be referring to different passages, but I'm going to be bringing us ultimately to Psalm 103. If you want to turn to those passages as I refer to them, that's fine. You're welcome to do that. Not necessary. A Christian gentleman who was experiencing some serious illness was visiting with someone and confessed some troubling thoughts about his love for God. He felt. And express it this way, I don't really feel like I love God very much. And so the friend answered him and says, let me share something with you. And says, you know, when I go home from here, I expect I'm going to take my baby on my knee and look into her sweet little eyes and then I'm going to listen to her charming little prattle and all the gooing and gawing that's going on. And as tired as I am, I'm going to see her presence, and her presence is going to bring rest for me. For I love that child with words that cannot express. But in fact, that child loves me little. You know, if my heart were breaking, it wouldn't disturb her sleep. If my body were racked with pain, it wouldn't interrupt her play. In fact, if I were dead, she'd forget me in a few days. And besides this, she has never brought me a penny, and yet she's a constant expense to me. I'm not rich, but there isn't enough money in the world to buy my baby. How is it? Does she love me, or is it that I love her? Do I withhold my love until I know that she loves me? Of course, a rhetorical question, of course not. Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before extending it? The elderly man who was experiencing sickness, and as he was listening to this mother share her love, tears began to roll down his face. And he says, you know, I think I'm beginning to see. It's not my love for God, but rather it's his love for me. It's his love for me that I should be thinking about. He went on to say, and I do love him now as I have never loved him before. You know, when you and I think of God's love, which no doubt is good news, we automatically go to John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world. Can you remember the first time you heard that verse? For some of you, you were raised in Christian homes, but I wasn't. And so when I heard John 3:16 and I heard children memorizing it, I was touched. I certainly felt it was an apt expression of God's love for the world. But little did I know that it was really a summation of what John understood the Old Testament to be teaching. Yes, the love and the concept of God's love began in the very beginning of time, right there at creation. God extended his love to mankind and says, I want you to co-rule with me. I grant you governing authority over creation. Of course, King David in Psalm 8 says, what is man that you are mindful of him? That you would give him such a trust. You know the story. We failed in the garden. And yet the fact that we failed, and just like that little baby who failed to appreciate her mother's love, God, in fact, still loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I was hoping to share just one message on the love of God in my Good News series, but I got a little bit carried away, and I said, I'm going to do it in two parts. I'm going to do an Old Testament version this morning, and that's why our focus is on Psalm 103, and then I'm going to take us to the New Testament. If you're a little bit of a statistics kind of, you know, factoid kind of person, you might want to write this down. The noun love is found 551 times in our English Bibles. Just the noun, love. Let's open a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share some thoughts on the love of God in the Old Testament. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for what we've already heard in song. Thank you for Megan sharing with us and beautiful pieces there. Thank you, Lord, for the worship team and all that they do and all the work that they put into helping us, Lord, to focus on you. Thank you for the scripture that was read out of Psalm 103, a call to praise and adoration here this morning. We confess, Lord, that we can't possibly worship you as you deserve. And yes, Lord, we're humbled that you love us, even though there are times you're grieved by us, and we don't understand that, only because we don't necessarily see it. But even if we did, Lord, we would probably go on in our own selfish, merry way. I pray, Lord, this morning that as we talk about your love, that again you would remind us how you care for each one here in the room. But not only the people here, but our families, extended family, people who aren't here today, our friends, our coworkers, and yes, even people, Lord, that we're suspicious of, or we don't care about, or maybe things in our hearts that aren't right because we suffer with some resentment and anger. Thank you, Lord, that you love all people. Thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated your love for the world by the sending of your Son. May we see this developed, Lord, in the Old Testament as we talk about it in Psalm 103. In Jesus' name, amen. God's love in creation. Let us make man in our image. Yeah, let's give him dominion and rule. And so God's love was demonstrated in creation. And God looked on at creation and he saw that everything was good. And in the creation of man and looking at all of that in the last 6 days of his creation, he said it was very good. It was God's love that motivated him to share with the angelic host a plan that what had not entered their minds, that actually there would be an earthly family so that God's will in heaven could be expressed on earth. Yes, man failed in the garden, and God judged the earth, and he preserved one family. And out of that one family, he chose another family, of the line of Abraham. And from that family, he chose and developed a nation called the nation of Israel. And he says that out of all the nations of the earth, I have taken you to be my treasured possession. Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. In Exodus 15, God speaks, and it's developed this way, God's unfailing love. Although the nation had failed, although man had failed, although God had judged the earth, God's love would continue to be extended. It would be an unfailing love. In Exodus 20, verse 6, it says that his love is expressed in 1,000 generations of those who love him. And so God is constantly showing his love. In Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, where our dear brother Ron Allen says, where God took a selfie of himself and described himself, refers to God's love as a love that is abounding. I'll talk a little more about that in a moment. In the period of the kings, God evidenced his love in the presence of the temple. He says, I want to dwell with man. Of course, he had already given the tabernacle, but here with Solomon dedicating the temple, God says, my presence will never leave here. Of course, we know that God didn't lie. He's coming back to dwell on that very mountain. But there was a generation that refused to believe him, refused to honor him. In 1 Corinthians 8:23, his covenant with Israel is called a covenant of love. In 1 Kings 10, verse 9, it's referred to as an eternal love. And then in the midst of that, I'll ask you to turn to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. You can underline this. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, where God's love is reassuring a disobedient nation. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 speaks of this fact here as he tries to recall this nation who has been living in rebellion. And by the way, the nation of Israel in its rebellion is simply a small picture of a global rebellion that still exists today. We as a church are simply a microcosm of all the people of time who have, as a remnant, have sought to worship God and expressed appreciation for his love. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, God extends these words. It says that he will quiet you with his love. To quiet you is to reassure you. It's to comfort you. It's to allow you to cease in the weeping. It's to allow you to come to a place where you're at peace with God. Another very striking picture of God's expression of his love, his reassuring love to a disobedient nation, is found in the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verse 23. Hosea, of course, is told that he needs to go take his wife who had committed adultery, a picture of national Israel. And in those verses that work from Hosea 2:23 on following, he talks about, I am going to show my love to you. God has been showing his love all throughout history. And then in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, in the midst of a nation that's being disciplined, God extends his love and he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Now, by now, you should realize that I'm asking you to underline in your Bibles every time you see the word love as it relates to God's expression towards us. Wow. In fact, if you did that in your daily Bible reading and you stopped and you paused and you reflected on those verses, the Spirit of God would reassure you of the very things I've just told you. And likely you'd be overwhelmed with tears because you'd realize how deeply loved you are by God. Well, not only did this nation experience God's discipline, it was sent into exile. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, David brings back, or pardon me, is in 1 Chronicles 16:34, the nation who had returned from exile was being reminded of God's love in the picture of David bringing the ark into Jerusalem many, many years earlier. And so in 1 Chronicles 16:34, in verses 41, we have a beautiful picture where God is being expressed as a God who loves. You know that Uzzah died as David was bringing back the ark. They were to be reminded through David's adamant desire to see that ark in Jerusalem that God wanted to reside there, and them returning there, God bringing them there, was to say, this is where I want us to dwell together. And we know that the end of Scripture, in the book of Revelation, we see this beautiful heavenly Jerusalem coming out of heaven. There will be a new heaven, new earth, where God will dwell with man. it will be the ultimate expression of his love for all eternity, and where all those who have believed will celebrate the love of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Father and the love of the Spirit of God. What about the Psalms? Now you might want to just go to the Psalms. You're in Psalm 103, but you might want to catch a few verses here. Familiar verses. The first one would be in Psalm 23:6, right? The Psalms are just filled with reminder of God's love. Surely goodness. And it's translated mercy, but it's the same Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word hesed. And it's often expressed as loving kindness, God's loyal love towards us. It is an unconditional love. It is a love that can't stop. It's an enduring love. It's an unfailing love. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, let's pause for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. I know you're peeking. No peeking, boys and girls. Close your eyes. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. I want you to imagine that you've been crying and you've been sad. And then you hear the voice of the Lord through his word say to you, I love you. I want to comfort you. I want to help you. Yeah. That's what God wants us to remember as we meditate upon his word. Let's turn over to Psalm 33, verse 6. Now imagine this. God wants you to understand today that the earth is filled with the unfailing love of God. And yet you look around and what is man displaying? Not the love of God, displaying rather the failures of men. But not the failure of God. No. God is filling the earth with his unfailing love. His sun rises every day faithfully. His sun sets faithfully. He sends his rain. He sends all the sun that we need in its due time and the heat to grow the crops. That's just from the natural side. Oh, but he answers prayer and he's grateful as we praise him. He wants us to recognize his love and his goodness towards us. And so the earth is filled with the unfailing love of God. Psalm 40, verse 11, may your love and your truth always protect me. God says, that's exactly what I want to do. The psalmist appeals to God for his love and his truth to protect him. Psalm 57, 10 says, great is your love. And look at that. Look at the height. It reaches to the heavens. Of course, I wanted to play the third day song that has that as one of the portions in it. Psalm 63:3 says this. You might want to go there and underline it. Your love is better than life. When's the last time you thought about that? When's the last time you just soaked that in and said, I want to sit here and I want to meditate upon the fact that God loves me? And of course, life does not consist, as Jesus says, in one's possessions. No, life is much better, much greater, much more significant than that. It consists in knowing that you're loved by God. Man, that's good news. Psalm 86:13 says this, great is your love towards me. Psalmist personalizes it and says, wow, how great is the love of God. Let's turn now to Psalm 103. Give me a second, I'll get there. Now, I often have referred to this psalm as the believer's benefit package. The first five verses are a call to praise. A call to praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. I don't have the voice of an Alexander Scurby, so I can't say it the way he would say it. But I'll tell you what, as I read it, I want to read that verse many times over. I want to read it and I want to express it as a heartfelt desire of my very being. Verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. There's benefits here in knowing that God loves you. Because out of the benefits that are going to be elucidated here, everything that is expressed flows from God's unconditional hesed love for you. But not only for you. For every person who has been conceived. For those who have not seen the light, as you and I have seen the light. God is no respecter of persons. He loves every human being, regardless of skin color and language or religious belief. And so what does this God do in lavishing his love upon us? Verse 3, who forgives all your sins. Yeah. Heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the grave. And there we have it. And crowns you with love and compassion. Love is mentioned 4 times in this psalm. If you want to highlight each of them, I'll tell you where they are. Verse 4, verse 8, verse 11, and verse 17. Where God wants to crown you with love and compassion, the idea is simply this. Everyone is to know that you are loved by God. And so he sets this public crown, as it were, upon your life. He wants everybody to know that you're a child of the King. Wow. What a beautiful thought. Verse 5. Who satisfies your desires with good things. And of course, your desires would be those that line up with God, God's desires. And he does so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. An eagle can live up to 30 years. Did you know that? And every once in a while, the eagle's beak gets so long, it's actually got to be broken off and grows back. It's as if they get a new lease on life. To be renewed like the eagles, God's love is renewed every day. Come on down to verse 6. By virtue of his love, the crowning of his love in your life, God works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And there are many people in our world who are being oppressed. And you and I are to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to extend God's mercy, God's love for the oppressed. We're to be vanguards of his love. In verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And that word abounding, is, as Bruce Waltke would say it, it shows that God's love exceeds that of people. You know, we can meet people, and we can talk about a mother's love for the child, and we can see that and how it's so unconditional. But God's love is greater than that. Yes, God's love expresses itself in his reluctance. Slow to anger on this end, abounding in love on that end. Verse 9, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. As it relates to our sin, God's love for you does not treat you as your sins deserve. But not just you, but me and every human being on the planet. He does not repay us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, his love reaches to the heavens. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. It overshadows this world. So great is his love for those who fear him. You might want to put down a few verses in regards to the fear of God. Psalm 34, verse 11 and following. Turn with me there just for a moment. Psalm 34, verse 11 and following. The psalmist wants us to respond to this great love of God. Verse 11, 34, 11. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. See, to fear God, what does that mean? Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, how do I respond to God's love for me? How do I show my appreciation for God's love? Psalmist says, I want to teach you what it means to fear the Lord. As you experience the love of God, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace with all men as much as lies within you, Romans 12:18, Paul says. Jesus says, while you're on the way, try to persuade the one who is accusing you. Settle it out of court. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. Yes, God loves you, cares for you. Back to Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That word transgression likely should be translated more our rebellious ways. It's not simply missing the mark. There are at least 50 different Hebrew terms to express sin in the Old Testament Hebrew Bible. And it's hard for us to get the nuance. But God sees your rebellious, my rebellious ways, and God says, I want to remove that. As far as the east is from the west. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He knows that we're frail. He knows that we're susceptible to disappointments. He knows what grieves us. He knows where we're hurting. He knows every pain, every hurt in this room. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows where you have failed, and he knows where you're crying out and seeking to trust him. He does so because he loves us. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, and he flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it and is gone, and his place remembers it no more. But God knows where your gravestone will be. God knows when you're going to breathe your last breath, and he'll usher you in. And as he resurrects you and breathes life into you again, it will be a life that will never, ever die away. We already are experiencing eternal life. And we're living by faith, anticipating the resurrection of our bodies. For those of us who have loved ones who have gone before us, we're looking forward to that resurrection morning. And we're looking forward to hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. We're waiting for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to wrap their arms around us. And to remind us, I'm loving you today as I've always loved you. And will always love you. verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, underline, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Abraham experienced it. Jacob, Isaac, David. We can go through the Old Testament. We can see that for David's sake, for Abraham's sake, for God's sake, God was expressing his love. He would not deny his name. Back at verse 11, where we said, great is his love for those who fear him. It's as if to say that God's love is magnanimous. It's lavished. It spares no expense. In verse 17, God's love is reassuring. Why are you crying? Well, I don't know where my mommy and daddy are. In the world today, there are boys and girls who have no mummies and daddies. You're loved with an everlasting love. But who's going to demonstrate that? Who's going to walk among them as Jesus did and remind them that they're deeply loved by God? You and I cannot guarantee God's unfailing love. No. And so God expresses it. And so for God so loved the world. If you have a hymnal in front of you, I want you to turn to hymn number 3. Just go grab one. Hymn number 3. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, is the way it's entitled. Henry Light, who is the one who famously has adapted this psalm to our hymnals, has written 5 verses. I don't know, is there 5 verses in the book? There's 4 in your book. I've got 5 on my notes here. I'm just going to read them for you. And as I read them, I want you to reflect that if you were to sing this, you should be responding to the love of God. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransom healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Praise the everlasting King. Praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress. Praise him still the same forever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Glorious in his faithfulness. Frail as summer's flower we flourish. Blows the wind and it is gone. But while mortals rise and perish, God endures unchanging on. Praise the high eternal one. Father, like he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Widely yet his mercy flows. Angels. So now we're going to come down to verse 19 here in a moment. I'm going to read it after I've read the hymn. In the first 5 verses, we have the call of man to praise the God of heaven for his love. In verses 19 and following in Psalm 103, we have God's call to the angels, the psalmist, David, calling the angels to worship God for his unfailing love. Angels, help us to adore him, yet behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him, dwellers all in time and space. praise with us the God of grace. Now to verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I hope I didn't ruin the psalm for you. I hope that you'll want to read it time and time again. A certain farmer had an unusual weather vane on his barn. Inscribed on the arrow were these words, God is love. Well, a passerby was coming around and he turned in at the gate and he asked the farmer, what do you mean by that? Do you think God's love is changeable? That is, it veers about this way and that way and turns with the winds? Oh, no, said the farmer. No, 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 no. I mean that whichever way the wind blows, God is still love. Although you and I don't fully realize that we are loved by God, the Old Testament is shouting it out for us, shouting it out to you and to me. And although we might read these verses in a familiar way, and maybe we've memorized them, and we've looked at stories of God's love, like the man who is sick, doesn't mean that we always feel it. You see, we all want to be loved. We all want to feel loved. And I believe that it's only as we meditate upon God's love for us that we can see it and that we can feel it. And that in turn that we can reciprocate it towards God in praise and adoration. And then in turn demonstrate it towards our fellow man. You are loved by God. Let that be good news. In fact, let your face know it. And let it bring a smile. Let it bring a chuckle. Let it bring laughter. I'm loved by God. And if you have to go out in some park and shout it out, then do it. But just know this, whether you whisper it or you shout it, for you to realize that God loves you, God will reply, I've been telling you so, day after day and moment by moment. In our next message, we'll be considering the New Testament perspective on love, demonstrated in the person of the Lord Jesus. However, in the meantime, take the time to underline the word love as expressed by God in the Old Testament. You'd be amazed how many times you're going to be underlining that word and that concept. May the Lord bless you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we rejoice, and yes, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to praise you with every fiber of our being for the knowledge of sins forgiven. You are the God who understands us completely. You know how we are formed. You have dealt with all of our sin, the past, the present, and the future. We remember them no more. Help us, Lord, to have an abiding fellowship with you. Help us to draw near to you day after day and let us echo what your word says here in Psalm 103, that you are worthy of praise. Thank you for each one here today. Lord, you know the things that have gone on in each life over time. You know the pains that we've experienced, the disappointments, the times we've been disillusioned, times where we've wondered whether you've cared, whether you love. And so we're thankful that you've reminded us again, even through an imperfect instrument as myself, that we are loved by you. Help us to share that with our children, our grandchildren, nieces and nephews, our neighbors, Yes, help us to share that with our enemies. Help us to love as you love. Thank you for each one here today. May they sense your ongoing love in their lives, day by day, moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. The Lord bless you. Make his face shine.